Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? Have you ever walked into a room and noticed a picture on the wall just a little bit crooked? Not wildly, it's just, you know, off. Maybe no one else sees it, but once you do, you can't not see it. Something in you leans toward the needs to fix it, to bring it back into alignment. And let's be honest, put up your hand if you're the kind of person who would poke the thing straight, even if it's in someone else's house. Oh, I saw some hands go down, some hands went up, okay. Now your hands if you're the kind of person who would tease the homeowner until they put it right. Oh, yeah, okay, a few. Thank you for being honest. Today we ask, how is God setting right the crooked frame of the world? And things are crooked. Today the prophet Amos walks into God's living room, and the picture isn't just crooked. The whole wall bows. The plumb line that shows level hangs from the crossbeams, and everything around it is just off. And from Amos's local vantage, Psalm 82, which we sang this morning, zooms out. God takes his stand in the council of heaven. The Israelites inherited an idea that the nation's gods gathered regularly in a heavenly council. Here, the psalmist uses this ancient image to tell a story that the other gods favor the wicked. So the Lord, Israel's God, defies them to their faces. How long will you judge unjustly and show favor to the wicked? He charges the gods with neglecting the weak and the orphan, of exposing the humble and needy, of abandoning the weak and the poor, of allowing the vulnerable to fall into the hands of the wicked. Make no mistake, while not all the wealthy in the Bible are wicked, the wicked described in this psalm are. They hoard wealth. In the ancient agrarian economy, this looked like loaning the poor money, then confiscating their land when they could not pay. The Old Testament law contains a lot about how to treat the poor, but even if everyone kept the law perfectly, the law still provides for periodic times of blanket loan forgiveness, sabbatical years, and jubilees where everyone returns to their ancestral lands. The nation's gods do not protect the poor from the rich, so the Lord proclaims his verdict. You are gods, and all of you children of the Most High. Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince. God sees that the picture is crooked. He moves to fix it. The psalmist prays, "Arise, O God, and rule the earth, for you shall take all nations for your own." But did he? Has God set everything right? A question like this might make us Christians feel exposed. Maybe our stomachs flutter, our chests tighten. If someone asked us this question outside these walls, we might blink rapidly or bite our lips or, you know, dry wash our hands. We might fumble for an answer. Why? Because, obviously, things aren't right. The picture frame of the world still hangs crookedly on the wall. The rich still hoard, the poor still suffer. The world as it is frustrates the weak and the orphan. It confounds the humble and the needy. If this is still true, after all these millennia, how is God setting things right? When the prophet Amos sees the frame's crookedness and proclaims God's judgment on the king, Amaziah, the priest of the high place, Bethel in Israel, north of Judah, panics. He rattles off Amos's prophecy to the king and then doesn't hesitate to confront God's prophet. Annoyed, he tells Amos to go south to Judah because Amos prophesies against the king's sanctuary, a temple of the kingdom. They are not concerned with what God thinks. They are only concerned with what will support their government, their way of life. Like the gods in the heavenly council, they judge unjustly and show favor to the wicked. Now, there are plenty of us Christians these days who would feel just fine if our churches were considered sanctuaries of the kingdom. The God's judgment that fell on the gods in our psalm and falls on Israel in Amos falls on us too. How long will you judge unjustly and show favor to the wicked? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, James reminds us in the New Testament, to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. How is God setting things right when even religion then and now protects the wicked while the wicked devour the poor? Well, not in the way we might expect. I suspect the psalmist saw God ruling over the earth and taking the nations for his own as an extension of Israelite military might. God's anointed the king would extend God's reign over the whole earth, conquering the gods of the nations one by one. But did God approach it this way? No. Was God the priest or the Levite walking past the man beat up and left in the ditch? No. God was the Samaritan, diving into the ditch of this world to help. In Jesus Christ, God judges the gods of this world. Next to Jesus, the plumb line, we can see the frame's crookedness. We can see what's out of joint. And ultimately, the way God chooses to render judgment on the gods of the world was by standing with the weak and the orphan in Jesus Christ. Jesus stood between them and the power of the wicked. He took the wicked's rejection of God's justice onto himself. From the cross hangs Jesus, the plumb line of the world. And then we confess, Jesus rises from the dead. He emerged from the ditch, having harrowed hell, with broken and bloody humanity in his arms. He bandages our wounds. He places us in the church, leaving the two denarii of baptism and Holy Communion to provide for our healing with the promise to return. Which was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Jesus asks the lawyer. The one who shows him mercy, he replies. God judges the gods of the world in Christ by being neighbor to the world. It is to this neighbor of God that Paul writes in our second lesson, "For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." This same God not only rescues humanity from the ditch, he also sends redeemed human beings back out into the world. He set things right in Jesus Christ. In his ditch-diving death and restoring resurrection, he is setting things right by ruling the earth, not with domination or fear as we might expect, but with love, through the small daily work of people who have been called to love God and their neighbor. The lawyer was right. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Have you ever walked into a room and noticed a picture on the wall just a little bit crooked? Something in you leans towards the need to fix it, to bring it back into alignment. This week, don't resist it. Say something. If it comes from love of God or neighbor, do something. God is setting the world to rights. He did so fully and completely in Jesus. Now he enacts that victory to an unbelieving world through people who love. I imagine that's going to look different for each of us. What might that look like for you? I think for me, instead of rushing to fix the tilted frame, I think I want to stop a moment, take a deep breath, and look for the plumb line. I want to find Jesus, the North Star of love in my heart. Before I rush to fix someone else, I want to make sure that I'm not the one who's crooked. And since it's usually the case that I'm crooked, I'm going to stop worrying about them so much and start with myself. I'm going to make a change that I can make in me. A loving change in hopes of making things better, a change that moves me towards love of God and neighbor. And then I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up with prayer, with hope, with blessing. Above all, I hope to show up with love. For that is how God, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, judges the gods of the world. He judges with the love that he is in and through and as Jesus Christ. Against love's plumb line, God will set all things right, make all things new, as it says in Revelation. God will save the weak and the orphan, defend the humble and needy, rescue the weak and the poor, deliver them from the power of the wicked. Sisters and brothers, it begins and it ends, all of it, with love. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.